Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Well, we're back, and yesterday was Labor Day, and hope everybody listening had an awesome, you know, hopefully you got off work and had a great day, celebrated, spent time with family, that kind of thing.
Some people labored on Labor Day.
That's true, yeah. And we appreciate you.
And some did not.
That's right.
I did not much.
Yeah.
Since it's the day after Labor Day, we can now say it's actually the official beginning of fall ministry at Grace.
At Grace, yeah.
How long have we been saying this?
Yeah. So, I don't know. We always seem to poke fun at Ben, who's been saying it since late July.
Yeah. And then now it's though post Labor Day, we're saying it. And then actually, when it turns fall, we'll say it.
Yeah. But it is true. Like, it's fall semester. Whenever school starts back, that's what we call it.
That's right.
Yeah,
but it's so hot outside.
Yeah, it is. So we had a great Sunday. You want to give us a sermon overview from Acts?
Yes, we were in Acts 16, and we were in Philippians. Philippi is where we were. Yeah. We were not in Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians. We'll talk about that later. We were in Philippi.
Right.
And so it was one of the great chapters of Acts that just is so succinct and orderly in the way that it shows the power of Christ to touch different people, and then gather a bunch of people who are different into a local congregation.
Yep.
And that's one of the things I like. Now, all the details are not there maybe the way we would want them to be in terms of like what happened to the slave girl who was delivered from the from the evil spirit. But however, it's clear that what Luke gave us was Lydia, a businesswoman, a slave girl possessed by a demon, and a jailer who had his ultimate loyalties to Rome. All of them have an experience with Jesus Christ, and something happens in their life. And then he leaves behind a church because, again, he stayed longer than it may seem as we read the passage on a surface level. He left behind a group of brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you have then this beautiful picture of people experiencing the saving power of Jesus and then coming together from all kinds of backgrounds, I have to say, because these three people are representative of many others in the city of Philippi.
Yeah.
So all these people experiencing the saving power of Christ coming together to form a congregation.
Yeah.
To which Paul will later write the book of Philippians.
Yeah.
And I love this chapter, and that's what we talked about, how Christ helped Philippi, the people there.
That's so cool that, you know, when you read the book of Philippians that you kind of think like, oh, all three of them could have been in the congregation as that was being read.
Yes.
Which is such a cool thing to think, that you have their kind of background and stuff. Now, in this, one question that we've had is there is like a striking statement in here that just seems unique to pretty much all the New Testament, and that is that they, in verse 6, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So one of the questions that we got was like, how did they know that they were being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in Asia?
Yeah. Well, like we always say, the text doesn't always tell us what
we
want to know.
That's right.
But I think we could at least give some options. So again, if people are listening to this, they might want to pick up Acts 16, starting in verse 6, and just read that short paragraph. And actually twice, once it says the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak the word in Asia, and then it says that the Spirit of Jesus would not let them go into Bithynia. Okay, so the question then is, how did they know this was the Holy Spirit and maybe not like an evil spirit or something preventing them from doing something? Because I think what raises the question is it seems odd to us that the Holy Spirit would not let them speak the word. mm-hmm. or that the Spirit of Jesus would not let them go somewhere they wanted to go bring the word.
Yeah.
Well, again, the text doesn't tell us, but we would the natural way to read it is that something was going on within their minds and in their hearts and their conversation that led them to the conclusion, the Holy Spirit does not want us to stay here mm-hmm. and do our ministry here. It could be that there were actual events that prevented them, but because they understand the Spirit of God to be sovereign, mm-hmm. they know that nothing prevents them from doing anything unless the Holy Spirit has allowed it to be so. And so they concluded then, well, this must be the Spirit of God. We're being prevented from doing this for some circumstantial thing that we don't know about. But they are then going to attribute that to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is sovereign.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whether it's internal awareness or conviction or what we might call, you know, leading of the Spirit, whether it is circumstantial prevention that they understand to be all circumstances under the sovereign power of God and God's Spirit, we're not told, mm-hmm. but they know, and so yeah. they don't. But the key thing, and what Luke is trying to communicate, the key here is that whatever this shutting down was, this preventing, this forbidding, and this then season of having to wait on the Lord was for the purpose of opening the door for them to go into Macedonia.
Yeah.
Closed door equals open door. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God and in service to Christ.
Yeah, that's great. Another unique thing to this week was, you know, it's not often that we get a whole little mini sermon in the middle of a sermon, but you did say something to the effect of, if I were to preach a sermon on waiting,
yeah, here's what it would be.
Here's what it would be.
Yeah.
And so another follow-up question would just be about, you know, generally about waiting. How do we, yeah. you know, how do we wait?
That's a really practical question for discipleship. What Christians are trying to do, we're trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. Sometimes that's very easy to, not easy, it's very clear. That's the way to say it. It's very clear because the Bible would tell us to do things or to not do things.
Yeah.
On those things, we don't have to have a long discussion of discernment necessarily. Mm-hmm. We just need to hear the word of the Lord and obey it in our circumstances.
Yeah.
But other times, we're in situations and circumstances where we could do more than one thing. It would not be immoral. It might not even be unwise. It's just that we can't do both. Mm-hmm. For instance, for some reason, Paul could not go to Bithynia.
Yeah.
So what does he do? Where does he go? So he's got to at least have some period of waiting to find out where he should go.
Right.
We don't know. Again, Luke doesn't tell us how long he waited. Was it the day they concluded they couldn't go to Bithynia? That night he had the vision of the man from Macedonia? We just don't know.
Yeah.
But there was something there that caused him to have to wait. So he's not waiting about a moral issue, about a direct command of the Bible, whether or not to obey it. He's waiting circumstantially. What yeah. should he do? And therein lies the whole thing that Christians have to wrestle with. What do I do when I wait? Yeah. Was that the question? I kind of took
yeah,
off there.
No, that's great.
What do we do? I made a couple of points Sunday that might be helpful to people when they are in one of those situations. One of them is to realize that while they wait, God is working. Mm-hmm. This is a very important truth for us to remember. There have been numerous times in my life as a Christian, but certainly in my life as a pastor in the line of work that I'm doing, where I've wanted to do something, felt like I should lead the church to do something, but then I had to wait. And those are difficult times. But one of the things that's helped me is to realize, okay, I might be waiting, but God is working mm-hmm. in ways that I will never know. So he could be working in me and my character. We'll get to that mm-hmm. At another point here. But he could be working in someone else. Mm-hmm. He could be working to orchestrate events that haven't yet unfolded, that need to unfold before grace can take this step or before I in my personal life can take this step. numerous ways that it would be helpful for us to remember God's always at work, mm-hmm. to work out his purposes in the world, to work out his purposes for us. And so waiting doesn't mean he's not working.
Yeah.
Another point is that waiting is different than being passive. A passive person pretty much knows what he or she should do. They have a sense. They're just dragging their feet. That's passivity, or they're not taking up the responsibility that they need to take up.
Yep.
That's not what we're talking about when we say wait. Waiting is, I don't know what to do, or what I think needs to be done can't be done, and I must trust the Lord and wait. Those are two different things. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure we're waiting and not just being passive. If we're being passive, let's get on with it. You know. A third thing would be obey what you know while you wait. So if I'm waiting circumstantially for things to unfold or to be able to do something, I still have to obey God. There's a whole Bible that is not dependent upon the circumstances.
Right.
Pray, love, serve, give, live purely, mm-hmm. trust, you know, obey.
Yeah.
So a season of waiting is never a season of not obeying. Similar to, it's not passivity. I would say another thing is remember that God is sanctifying. Waiting builds prayer, faith, trust, endurance. It builds walking by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. And so it's a character building process. And then I think I closed with this little point on Sunday in the 1 minute sermon, the 1 minute mini sermon is mm-hmm. when you're waiting, try not to sin or to be unwise. So when we're in a waiting situation, we can sin. Like we can say, oh, I'm having to wait, and then we lose focus on following the Lord, and we start to do things like get angry about waiting, get impatient, mm-hmm. blame other people. Lose sight of our original purpose in the first place and let ourselves get distracted.
Yeah.
We could be unwise. I said on Sunday, I think it would be very unwise for somebody to say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord, or I'm waiting for circumstances to change so that I can do this or that, and I'm going to wait until I get a dream like Paul had. It would be very unwise to say Paul's experience should be our experience.
Right.
People, every now and then, I'll hear of people who are kind of tending in that direction, unwise about what they're actually waiting for. Hmm. And there are other ways to be unwise, taking matters into our own hands, forcing circumstances to open up before us, making bad decisions because we can't stand not to make a decision.
Yeah,
we have to really check ourselves and say, am I being wise while I wait? So, there you go. Maybe that's helpful. There was a waiting season for Paul and Silas and Timothy and whoever else was a part of their traveling team, Luke eventually.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Lord used that.
Good.
He did use it to get him where he wanted to go. Hopefully he used it, we believe he did, in their lives.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. And then this Sunday, what do we have in the works?
Well, we're going to do something a little different, and so I guess here it is Tuesday. I'm making a commitment to it. I had this idea back, I don't know when we maybe started Acts earlier, mm-hmm. that when we hit these cities that have New Testament letters attached to them, we might take a little side tour and do the letter. So we did that for Galatians, but we spent the whole summer in Galatians. There was the cities, plural, in the region of Galatia. And so we did that. We're not going to do that. Just one Sunday. We were in Philippi on Sunday in Acts 16. So we'll take a little detour and do an overview of the book of Philippians on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then come back to Acts. And then we've got more cities to do. It won't take forever, but it will prolong the journey in through Acts just a few weeks.
Yeah,
but this Sunday will be Philippians. And by the way, people will get an email about this tomorrow. We're going to send out an email tomorrow related to the new elder selection process, and I'm going to address that just for, you know, 7 minutes or so on Sunday before the sermon.
Yeah.
Just to get our congregation ready for a season we're going into where we're going to nominate, recommend qualified men to serve as elders here at Grace. Hmm. So all that's coming out, yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely invite everybody listening to join us in prayer as we approach that season too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
All right, we'll see you Sunday.
Thanks.